Chronicles chapter number 1 tonight. Book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 1. We'll read a few verses in the Word of God here in just a moment. But first, the fellows are going to sing for us.
Our traveling days will soon be over here, and we shall cross a rolling tide. For we're down here for just a little while, our home is on the other side. Ambassadors true for Jesus our Redeemer, and it is a love's crusade. For right against the wrong, but soon we'll join the throne in heaven with the saints' parade. For heaven's only King, for King, heaven's only King, we gladly sing the story. The story is old, sing it to his glory. Is ever new in glory. Telling you, my friend, that Jesus can redeem your soul from every known sin. It'll make you pure within joy. Billows only then will roll. A happy new song you will begin to sing to Jesus. See the way hath made to glory land fair. We'll have a mansion there and join us in the saints' parade. For heaven's King, for King, we gladly sing the sing. The story is old, tis ever new in glory.
Was a blessing, wasn't that good? And that is good quartet music right there. And I appreciate that, fellas. Appreciate all the good music today, the special music, the congregational singing. It's been a blessing to be in the Lord's house today. First Chronicles chapter number 1 in your Bibles, and we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll give you the thought that the Lord has given me for you at this time, and then we'll go down and have an appetizer before supper, okay? A piece of cake and punch, and then you'll go eat supper, all right? And so we'll have a good time fellowshipping right after this evening. First Chronicles chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahalil, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Tonight, I want to preach on this thought: what is in a name? What is in a name? Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you for how you spoke to my heart through this passage of scripture and others this week. Lord, I believe this message is for our church tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to deliver it to them the way you've given it to me. Lord, I need your touch. I need your help. I pray that you'd fill me with your power, that I may be used by you. Fill both speaker and listener with your spirit, God, so that we can understand your word. And Lord, you can help us to know what you want us to know from your word tonight. Help us to put into practice what we learn. And God, I pray that you would help the message to lodge very deep in our heart. I pray that you would, please, Lord, bless the invitation to follow. May you get fruit that you desire around these altars, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Names are so important, aren't they? And we seem to name everything. Something that I find interesting, I asked this question years ago. I can't find a last name in the Bible. Can you? That's pretty interesting, isn't it? I don't really have an answer for that, but pretty neat. But names are important. We name everything. We name our pets. Some good little names. Come on. We name, sometimes even name our vehicles. Right? Hoopty. Betsy. Or whatever else you want to call them. And sometimes we name whatever we want to name. The other week, I was on vacation. We walked down the marina where we were about to go eating and went by all of those different boats along the docks there. And almost every one of those boats had a name on them from the captain. Names are important. After a couple gets the news that they are expecting a baby and the initial shock is faded, What's the next thing? They begin looking for names. What are we going to name our child? If it's a boy, we'll name him this after this person. If it's a girl, we'll name her this after this person in our life. Names are so important. Names really have much meaning. If you look the meaning of some names, some mean really good things and some not so good things. A name. There are common names, and there's also some quite unique names, right? You've all met some people that they're like, what was your mom and daddy thinking when they named you? Right? Names. Seems like my generation sometimes wants to find such a unique name for our children that we have to invent new names. I mean, when's the last time you met somebody that just named their kid Bob? It ain't happening these days, is it? They're naming them everything else under the sun, but just common names. There's unique names. Or here's the best one yet. I can't name my child that because 15 years ago, I had a problem with someone that had that name, and now I can't name my child that. That's the truth. Names. I spared you the time reading any more verses in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 1 down through chapter number 9 is commonly referred to as the name chapters. All right, it is full of a whole bunch of names that we struggle to pronounce. I wonder why don't parents go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through chapter 9 and find the names for their children? There's a lot of options here, and they're very unique, all right? You can have any choice you want, and you'll have the only one. And many times when we're reading the Word of God, we'll, and this is how this message came about. Brother Delaney was in my text group this last couple weeks, and I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I came across it, the name chapters. And to be honest with you, I wanted to just skim through them because it's like I can't hardly pronounce any of these names, and there's really not much in here. But I was reminded of the verse in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God obviously had something He wants me to learn from these chapters and especially from these names. These chapters serve as the genealogical record, okay, tracing the lineages of the Israelites and their ancestors all the way back to Adam. However, I believe there's a deeper purpose for these names. When we read these names, when we read these individual names here, they represent a person that made it into God's eternal word. Their name represents a life. It represents a legacy. It represents someone that has either made a difference for the cause of Christ or they didn't. They squandered the time that they had on this earth. These individual names we read about in this text, they have finished their race. Not one of them is living today. They have finished their course. They've left their mark, whether good or bad. However, each and every one of us, we still have a race to run, don't we? Some in this room have a lot of life to live, maybe. Some are on their final lap, maybe. Promise tomorrow, promise today. And we ought to make the most of it. I want to consider that thought. What is in a name? I want to think along these lines. If my name were listed in these chapters, what would be said about my life? With my life, did I live a life that counted for Christ, or did I live for selfish gain? Did I have a good name that was respected by others, or did I tarnish my testimony? I want to draw your truths from another passage of Scripture and look at what is in a name. Notice, first of all, with me, the weight of a name. The weight of a name. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 22. More familiar passage of Scripture. Go to Proverbs chapter number 22, if you would. The weight of a name. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 22, and in verse number 1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The description given for the name is that word good. A good name should be the desire of every child of God today. It ought to be our desire to have a good name. And you know, when we hear that said of someone, if someone says he's a good man or she's a good young lady, or we hear that, we immediately assume that that person is a person of character. Person's a person of integrity. If you've worked to have a good name, if you've worked to have a good testimony, a good reputation, can I say you ought to guard that for all the time that it's worth, because it's so important to keep that good testimony. We all know some that their reputation precedes them, don't it? Our reputation is simply what man thinks of us when our name is mentioned, and our testimony is what we are before God and others. And I say that both truly matter. Our testimony as well as our reputation. You say, well, I don't really care what people think about me. You should. You should. You see, because our name, whether good or bad, is representing someone more than just yourself. You're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ought to live up to that name. We should care about our reputation. Because many times, sometimes, our reputation can cause a stumbling block for somebody not hearing the gospel message. There's some that's been turned off to Christianity as a whole because of a Christian that said they were a Christian, but their reputation and their testimony didn't prove to be. You say, what do you mean? Sometimes our attitude stinks, right? Sometimes our words hurt. Sometimes our actions scream louder than any message you could ever preach. We must guard our good name. How do I do that? Well, first, there's some places I don't go, right? There's some places that I just won't go. There's some people that I just won't be tight with. I can be friendly to everybody. I ought to be friendly, but I don't have to be tight with everybody. There's a certain way I will always present myself in public. Why? Because I have a reputation. I have a testimony to maintain. Man looks on the outward appearance. Exactly right. God looks on the heart. Exactly right. So I have a testimony to maintain. I have a reputation to maintain. There is a weight that comes with a good name, church. That's what I want you to try to understand. There's a weight to that. If I'm going to have that good name that God says is rather to be chosen than great riches, then what do I have to do to get that? What do I have to do to have that, to where when somebody looks at my life, they look at and they hear my name mentioned, they immediately assume good man. They hear your name and they immediately think, good lady. It's important that we think about these things. Not just immediately blow off that we don't care what people think. We should care what people think and how we present ourselves in public. We should care about our words. Listen, somebody does you wrong and you want to tell them off, don't leave them a gospel tract, because you're not being a good representation of your name, Christian. Right? So many illustrations I could go right here, but I will refrain. A good name. You go to a restaurant and you can't afford to leave a good tip, don't leave my picture with a track on it, please. You say, well, they don't deserve the good service. They didn't give me good service. That's everywhere you go, okay? The weight of a name. You see, listen, I may not always be able to control what everybody wants to think about me, but I can certainly limit the ammunition others have to shoot at me by simply trying to have a good name. Amen. Let me say that again. I may not be able to control everything someone wants to think about me, but I can certainly limit the ammunition others have to shoot at me by simply having a good name. So there's weight to that. If I care about that, then there's some things I can't do. Some places I can't go. Some people I can't hang around. Why? Because I'm trying to have a good name. It matters. The weight of a name. But notice quickly, number two, notice the worth of a name. Again, in verse number 1 of 22 of Proverbs, it says, a good name is riches. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, in verse number 1, the Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment. The worth of a good name, according to the Word of God, is to be chosen above great riches. I wonder if we actually would. If we were offered all of the money in the world, but we'd have to tarnish our testimony to get it, what would we choose? That's a logical question to think about. If you were handed all of the money, but in order to do so, you had to go to the riverboat casino. And tarnish my testimony by going there. Well, what do I choose? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name is better than precious ointment. It's to be chosen above great riches. In Ecclesiastes, it's better than precious ointment. That precious ointment in the Word of God is very, very costly. It's of high value. A good name is of great value, church. We ought to never underestimate the value of your testimony. It's been said that it takes a lifetime to build a testimony, but just a few seconds to destroy it. And it truly, that is true. Each and every day we're building our testimony. And the way to gain a good testimony is to endeavor each day to be what you desire to appear. That's the way to build a good testimony. We each have something in our mind that we want to appear a certain way to everyone else. Yours may be different than mine, but if I had to guess, many of us, there's a way that we want to appear before the public. How is that? Chances are you want to appear hardworking, right? You want to be a man of integrity that you don't mind putting in a full day's work, hardworking. You want to appear maybe honest. It's a good characteristic to want to appear, that you're trustworthy. Someone places something in your hands, you can be honest with that. You want to appear kind. I hope you do. Some of you, I think you could care less on this one, but you want to appear kind. What about gracious? I want to appear gracious. I want to appear that way where something. I don't want to be so hard-nosed on every situation that I can't offer a little grace because I need grace from time. Charactered. How about happy? Like, that's a good one. You want to appear happy? Christ-like. The best way to have a good reputation, a good testimony, is just simply do what you desire to appear. That's it. Each and every day we're building our testimony. So if you want to appear hardworking, get to work. You want to appear honest, then tell the truth. You want to appear kind, practice. That's the best way to tell you. Listen, it's been well said, you can't buy a good testimony. You can't buy a good reputation, you can only earn it. Each and every day we're building our testimony. You realize your life is the only Bible some folks will ever read? That's it. We should live in such a way that our actions reflect the love and the truth and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A consistent, humble, and faithful testimony not only honors God, but it also draws others closer to Him. We talked about that a little bit this morning. A good testimony, a good name, the worth of that, it's of great riches. We're to choose it rather than great riches. So we see the weight, we see the worth, but let me give you lastly tonight, notice the will of a name. The will of a name. Verse number 1 of Proverbs 22, again it says this, a good name is rather to be chosen, you see that, chosen than great riches. We have a choice in the matter. Will I choose to make an effort to have a good name, or will I choose the opposite? We have a will in the matter. This evening in particular, we obviously honored our graduates. And our senior and our college graduates, they have finished what they have started out to do. And although they are young, they are already proving their reputation, their testimony. many of them, I know them all, they got a good work ethic. They're honest. They're good young individuals. But to be honest with you, they're just starting out. And I'm in this thing for the long haul. And to think that I may have had a good testimony up until now, I could ruin that this evening. Good name. But I want to make a choice every day. Lord, I want to have that good name. Lord, I want to have that good testimony. I want to be a good example for others to see. When they see me, they immediately see you. It's my prayer that our graduates, they'll live for the Lord all the days of their life, and that they'll choose to have a good name every day of their life. And I'm obviously thankful for their testimony, but I challenge you graduates to continue to build upon that good name. Many have started out well, but they didn't finish well. They started out good, but along the way, something happened. I want to cross the finish line and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," but I'm convinced that I can never hear that until first I've done well. Notice with me, go to Ecclesiastes real quick. We'll go to chapter 7. We'll read one verse and we'll wrap it up here. Chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, verse number 1. If you're in Proverbs, just go to the next book there. And verse number 1, the Bible says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." I find that interesting. Day of death is better than the day of one's birth. You see, that second part of that verse builds upon the comparison of the good name. That day of death, especially for those who have had a good name, that have had a good testimony, then it's truly better than their day of birth. We've been to the funeral of those that we've heard the eulogies read. And you're like, "Man, that was a good man. It was a good lady. Their life left a legacy." And truly, their day of death was better than their day of birth because of the way they lived. Church, it's important how we live. That's the whole point of the message. It's important how we live. We can't just blow a caution to the wind and say, "It doesn't really matter how I live." It does matter. The world is looking at Christians to be Christ-like. If that wasn't the definition, why? If God didn't want us to be Christ-like, why would that be a part of the definition? Christian. To be like Christ. To resemble someone. To imitate someone. The title is "What is in a name," but really the question is, what's in your name? What's the reputation that precedes you? When someone thinks of your name, what do they think of? Do they have any good words to write in a card about you? Or do they really have to struggle? Is your testimony for the Lord strong? Are you living the kind of life that causes others to want to follow Christ? You see, a good name carries a lot of weight. You listen to somebody. We tend to listen to people that we know that have a good name. Someone that has a good name, a good reputation, and they say something, you're like, "I better listen to that." Don't we? Yeah, we do. Someone that blows off their reputation, blows off their name, we really could care less what they say. It carries weight. It's worth of great value according to the Word of God. And we have a will, we have a choice in the matter, but it has to be chosen each and every day. Church, can I encourage you to have a good name? It's not a one-time choice that you come and say, "Lord, I want to have a good name." Every day you're building your testimony. Every day. And so tonight, yeah, I encourage you to come down to the altar and say, "Lord, I want to have a good name. Help me to have a good testimony. Help me to live right. Help me to be cautious of what I do so that I'm not a black eye on the name of Christ." But then tomorrow you got to do the same thing. Because every day you're building that testimony. You're building that good name. It's important. Just as important as it is to name your little pooch, so much more important it is to live up to the name that God wants you to be. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight.